is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to episode 139 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined once again by the legend himself, the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
Ah, yes, the legend. I don't know what I'm a legend for, but yeah, we're here. We are rocking. John, there's a lot going on this week. We have Gamescom, for one. I mean, I'm super excited to see what kind of announcements come out. Either DLC, fresh new games. I'm excited.
You're a legend for all the wrong reasons, Joey.
You know, that's all
I'm
trying.
No, I'm joking. You're a legend. You're a walking, talking, breathing legend, sir, at least in my book. I don't care what anybody else says, Joey. You're a legend. But yes, I agree. Gamescom is absolutely fantastic. I'm excited for this week. I know we both watched the Microsoft Xbox.
Inside Xbox.
What do we want to call it? Teaser, you know, E3 follow-up? Yeah.
Yeah, Gamescom's kind of in an interesting spot for Xbox in general. So they showed some big things here and there, some Game Pass additions, a lot of Gears of War 5 stuff. But the big thing with Xbox is they kind of blow it out at E3, and then they wait till XO, which is in November. So Gamescom's kind of like that, I don't know, like that odd middle layer where they want to keep people interested, but they don't want to give too much away.
That odd middle layer. I think we should submit a name change for Gamescom then.
Well, Europeans would disagree with this, though. This is their main layer. This is their big piece of cake.
This is their big piece of cake. Oh, jeez. Nation, make sure you follow the show on social media. That is Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. It's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, why not shoot Joey and I a follow? Follow Joey at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome as always. You can find those handles below those horrific mugshots you were looking at. And if you're listening on the podcast later on down the road, show notes, we'll have them listed there for you as well. And Nation, just real quick, while you're at it, leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice. This show, the Level Up Podcast, is now available on Spotify and Stitcher, in addition to iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews go a long way to help the show grow and reach more listeners. So when you have a moment, we would appreciate you taking the time and leaving a review or two. We would be very appreciative of that. Nation, I feel like every week Joey pushes his propaganda into this show with more Microsoft acquisitions. But this week, Joey, Sony has come to play. Joey, Sony is finally making some moves, and that's only one topic on this week's episode of the Level Up Podcast. What else are we talking about this week on episode 139?
That is a great question. I forgot I have to do this part for every episode. We are talking roster signings, per usual. We're talking some exciting new partnerships, which we will dive into in this episode. other news, Gamescom. So we're not really going to hit on it too much this week because we do want to see what the full scope looks like. But we're going to touch on a couple little things that came out around that, like the Sony acquisition that John mentioned, some League of Drama news, and much more.
So pretty much what he's trying to say is we're talking about Sony this entire episode, and only Sony today, because I'm going to milk this moment, Joey, because I feel like your Xbox and Microsoft just seeps into the show a little too much. But it's okay. It's okay. Thank you for
milk it for its sugar.
Milk sugar. God. Some things need to be left in past episodes. Joey, oh, God. And look what time it is. It's time for the drink of choice. Joey, I swear, if your beverage this week has milk sugar in it, I just may quit the show. It's as simple as that.
Well, you can stick around, John, because I'm actually just drinking water this week. I forgot to grab alcohol. I'm drinking water in, ironically enough, a Microsoft bottle.
Oh, God. I can't escape it. I cannot escape Joey and his Microsoft just being everywhere. Joey, because I had a very alcohol-filled weekend, mainly, so last week my drink of choice was a Natty Light Natterday. I have to preface it. It was the Natterday version. On Saturday, I had way too many of the Natterdays as well. So I am reliving the weekend with another Natterday today. Simple as that. Get a nice little crack there. And just like that, Joey, you have water. I have a beautiful Natterday. We have our beverages. Joey, let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Natty Light and beautiful do not go together for me, but I'll let you do your thing over there.
Natterday. Natterday. not Natty Light, but Natterday. Every day is a Natterday.
Except today, for me, we're going to talk CSGO, though. Team Dignitas has brought on Thea to their female CSGO roster. She actually participated this past week. I believe it was Fragdelphia she participated at. But I think this is another great move by Dignitas. They've really kind of rebranded themselves, brought themselves more, I don't want to say like modern, but they really have come a long ways as far as their original team. They've changed their logo. They have a new location for their headquarters, and they really continue to update. And their female CSGO team is one of the best out there. The fact that they continue to build that brand, continue to really put money into female esports, I think is really great. They're kind of one of those leading organizations as far as getting more females into the esports realm.
Lead by example. They're doing just that. It's a great pickup for their CSGO roster.
Absolutely. And speaking of more females in esports, COD Toronto introduced Wisdom as their general manager. And in addition to that, we have another one coming in with the Washington Justice announcing that they have added Annalyn Ballin Dang as their new general manager. And they look forward to preparing for the 2020 Overwatch League season with her. So, John, a lot of big female moves in esports, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to say it's about time is really past due. As esports tries to break out of this mold that is the male ecosphere of esports, it's great that we're starting to see these organizations open up. You know, we talk about being inclusive in this community. We talk about wanting to lead the way in inclusion. And now esports is really putting, you know, the foot to the pavement when it comes to this inclusion. And these are not just people that are getting the jobs because, you know, they're female. They're getting jobs because they're qualified. Which is the big thing to focus on here. They're qualified and they happen to be female. Those two go hand in hand, and it's absolutely fantastic, and it's great for esports. So I'm incredibly excited to see more women in the esports scene leading these major organizations. I mean, Ballin's coming over to the Washington Justice, who have been on absolute fire in Stage 4 after three mediocre stages where they only won two games out of three entire stages. They added so many players to their roster. They went through almost a full front office change through upper management between 3 and 4. And now they're bringing in Ballin, who's coming over from the LA Gladiator side. And they absolutely loved her. She did amazing things with the Gladiators in Los Angeles. And now the Justice get to pick her up. And she's going to be the new GM. She is going to be absolutely fantastic. I cannot wait to see how she helps this growing fan base here in DC really grow to the potential that it has to be here. She's outstanding. I love this pickup. I love Wisdom joining COD Toronto. It's great for all the organizations involved, and it's only going to help enrich the esport community.
Right, and I hate the fact that we still have to mention that it is females in esports because there's such a barrier there at the moment. But the other thing we do have to mention with it is the breaking of barriers here with these positions. I mean, you're looking at not a social media manager. You're not looking at like a talent manager or a house manager. You're looking at two general managers, and you're looking at a player themselves. So the fact that we're seeing females not only continue to grow in esports and more enter into the industry, but the fact that they are getting higher level management positions and it's just becoming more and more prominent. So that to me is the big key here. Again, I'd love to be at the place where it's all complete equality, where female, male, it doesn't matter. It's just a professional in esports. But we're still at that point right now. And I want to mention that the fact that there are barriers being broken here, the fact that we have general manager positions continuing to be filled, I think is amazing. And with one being Overwatch, it's amazing. Hey.
Oh, that was...
Team Liquid, God. They have signed Nuzu as their strategic data partner. John, I feel like Nuzu is everyone's strategic data partner for esports. It feels like every single organization, every single tournament, every single title is practically linked to Nuzu. When we see Twitch streaming results, when we see prize money comparisons, viewership comparisons, it all runs through Nuzu already. So I feel like this is Team Liquid almost just saying like, hey, we're making it official at this point, but we've been dating for so long.
Oh my, are you saying it's the worst kept secret in esports, really? This whole secret relationship?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, from Nuzu's own webpage, marketing intelligence for games, esports, and mobile. I'm assuming they're going to go with mobile gaming here, but it's the data and the insight that these companies need. And really, at the end of the day, when you're an organization, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. You're trying to make the wheel better. So who do you go to? You go to the person who is leading the way and making the wheel even better. In this case, it's Nuzu. So it's smart for Team Liquid to officially announce this. But yeah, they're everywhere, Joey. They're exactly like you said, they're everywhere when it comes to esports and video games. So I'm not surprised that everyone's not coming out and saying that Nuzu is their, you know, number one data gatherer, if you will. for all of their fans and for their content.
Right. And it's just, I would not be surprised if this becomes more and more prominent with people signing Nuzu on. I did not look into the exclusives of this agreement with Team Liquid. I'm sure there are some other factors that might play into this. But overall, it's another logo that Liquid can put on their jersey. It's another way for Nuzu to really get established and show their brand on a big esports organization, potentially as a jersey sponsor. So again, I don't know the proper details, but I do know Nuzu has worked with many, many organizations, tournaments, and players alike. So they've been around the scene. They've really earned their keep. And I think Team Liquid is just one of many, many that will come with this Nuzu deal. Rainbow Six, they have re-upped their esports org collaboration for phase two of their revenue sharing pilot program. John, I think the pilot program started 6 months, maybe 8 months ago, somewhere in that time range. It might have been a little bit longer. But we like the fact that Rainbow Six jumped into this revenue sharing model. It took a lot of organizations and titles a long time to kind of make this move. League of Legends being one of the prominent ones, and Overwatch League as well recently. But the fact that Rainbow Six doesn't have the biggest scene, but they're still moving this way, I think is a good move for them. They have exclusive skins, exclusive gun skins, exclusive charms on the guns as well. And now we're seeing version two of that. So it's going to continue to roll out. It means more money for the game, more money for players, more money for developers, more money for the organizations as well. So it's a win-win all around. The fact that this game continues to expand with the esports scene as well. Will you be picking up any exclusive skins for your Rainbow Six game?
I can't, to be completely honest, I can't remember the last time I played Rainbow Six.
I think it was like one day.
No, it was two. Don't get me wrong. I was down at Tech Time in Woodbridge, Virginia, playing down there for a couple go-arounds. I'm not as good at Rainbow Six as I wish I was, so that was a little frustrating. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a great game. But myself, it doesn't really entice me to kind of re-download the game and play it again for these skins. But it's great for the community that does play this game. You know, being able to rep your org in game is a lot of fun. You know, Joey and I, you know, we both do it in League of Legends and Overwatch. You know, Joey reps Fnatic in League of Legends. I rep Cloud9 in League of Legends. And, you know, take a look at our profiles. It's all Fnatic, all Cloud9, pretty much all the freaking time. And then when you take a look at Overwatch, you know, we're rocking the Washington Justice skins in game. You know, it's, you know, yeah, you're not a part of the team, but you're representing your team at the same time. So it's still kind of cool. It's that idea of, you know, one, in Overwatch, you get to wear the same skins that the pro players wear. And two, it's, you know, it's sort of an identity, you know. It's, you know, you identify as a Washington Justice fan, in this case, for Joey and myself. So that's the cool thing about it. So bringing more org skins into a game is always going to be a winning formula. So it's great to see Rainbow Six kind of re-up their esport collab here.
Right, and it's a win for everyone involved. So you and I can feel more included in something like the Washington Justice. We can rep our team. We can maybe even find like-minded fans in random lobbies as well. But then on the flip side, it's also a way for orgs to continue to make money in these smaller titles. When it comes to something like Vainglory was one that comes to mind, it was such a small title that they did not have ad revenue, they didn't have sponsor revenue because it was so, so tiny. But then you add something like this, and Vainglory didn't do this at the time, but Rainbow Six is doing it. You add in skins, you add in other revenue sources for the organization. It gives someone like a Fnatic or a Team Liquid a little bit more energy to stay in that series, to stay in that title's really esports competition in general. Because otherwise, why am I going to stay there? Why am I going to pay players this much money if I'm not getting any return on it? I love my fans, but do I really just want to buy into this league to be in this league? Not really. Now you add skins, you add other revenue sources. This makes it much more reasonable for organizations to want to make the investment into some of these smaller leagues that might otherwise die off without these organizations there with them.
That was a lot of fun. You froze up again, and it was just kind of
just
waiting for it to come through.
Well, hey, we made it longer than I think we have the last 2 weeks. Usually we freeze in the first 5 minutes, right?
Usually it is within the first 5 minutes, but thank you, Discord, for making this a running joke week after week. I appreciate it.
Yeah, 3 weeks going.
3 weeks.
Nice little streak going on here. Anyway, so exciting stuff there. You guys can listen to that on the podcast. Xbox and Nintendo have partnered up to move another well-known platformer to the Switch, with critically renowned Ori and the Blind Forest set to release on the Switch on September 27th. John, have you ever played Ori?
I've played a little bit of it. I actually have it downloaded on my PC. The game looks beautiful. I've heard reviews from some of my friends that have played it. Glowing reviews. So I I haven't played it. I need to play more of it. But from everything I've read, from everything I've watched on stream, from other streamers, it looks like a fantastic game. And having it cross-platform now with Nintendo is pretty freaking smart when you think about it.
Right. And they continue to make deals. One, which I actually fell for on Twitter, which was a fake deal, unfortunately, with the Xbox controller being compatible on the Nintendo Switch. Not yet, guys. Not yet. I fell hard for that one. I'm hoping it's a thing eventually. But the Switch, I think one of the biggest things in favor of the Switch is really, one, the accessibility, the fact you can carry it anywhere, and two, its ability to play platformers on it. It feels like the perfect program for platform, or the perfect platform for platformers. There's just so much potential there. The side-scrolling in particular, Ori does a really good job of it. Very clean, tons of color, tons of really great storylines behind Ori. It's just a beautifully well-made game, artistically speaking. So I'm excited to see something like that go to the Switch. Again, I think this is just one of many, many more Xbox games to move that way. We already saw Cuphead move over there. It's gotten tons of critical acclaim on the Xbox, got tons on the PC, and now tons on the Switch. Ori did the same thing. I think this is just going to follow in the footsteps. Switch players are going to love Ori, and Xbox is going to continue loving sending games there if people keep spending money on them. Speaking of games on the Switch, the new Pokemon Sword and Shield games are set to arrive on the Switch November 15th. John, so you don't have a Switch yet, but I know you're considering getting one.
Yet, that is correct.
So let's assume you have a Switch at this point in time. Are you going Sword or are you going Shield?
At first, I need to do more research on what the big difference is between the two, because, like, obviously there's going to be some difference to try to entice you to buy both of the games. Right now, Sword, the name Sword speaks to me more than Shield, because I play support and everything, and I want to be aggressive from time to time, so Sword sounds like it's a lot more fun.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, like when you play support,
comparing the Sword to a support, are you?
No, I'm saying it's so different. Like the Shield would be like playing Braum in League of Legends, or, I don't think there is a shield in Overwatch for a support player. Like, I mean, Symmetra's still considered DPS now. Brig's shield covers herself. She's greedy. She doesn't save the rest of the team with her shield. She just saves herself.
Okay, this Pokemon with a shield is not going to cover much more than itself either.
Yeah, but that's why I'm going for the Sword, because Pokemon Sword is stronger than Pokemon Shield, because that logic still makes no sense at the moment. I'm probably going to go Sword, but again, I do need to research the difference between the two before I make my mind up. And first off, I need to get a Switch. Let's not buy a game before you have the gaming system first. Let's be real here.
So at one point, I was the guy who would play both Pokemon games. I would get both so I could get all the exclusives. Then I grew up and realized that is not the way to go. If you can find a good enough friend group to kind of trade between each other with your little link cables back in the day.
Yeah,
playing through Red and Blue by myself was very interesting. And then I made some bad trades with some older kids in the neighborhood as well.
Oh no, Joey, are you trying to say the older kids in the neighborhood stole your Pokemon with bad
trades?
They
did. I think it was my Lapras.
Oh,
I traded
no.
a Lapras. It was like level 75, and I traded it for a level 100 Arcanine. Which, first of all, did not listen to me because I was not high enough level. So it was a huge mess. And the kid would not trade it back. I was pissed. And then I had to replay and get another Lapras. But, hey, you live and you learn. I've not made that trade ever again.
Oh, my God. I would kill to see little Joey throwing a fit over a bad Pokemon trade. Like, I can imagine your parents be like, Joseph, what in the... leprosy? What you have? What you have an arcade dine or arcade? That just doesn't make any sense, Joseph. Go to your room.
Yeah, it was good times. I lived and learned that lesson. But good times ahead, John. The way we should do this is one of us should get one game, the other should get the other.
Yes.
That way we just spend on one and we still get all the Pokemon we need.
Yeah, but
that's
but
what
still,
I'm thinking.
I still need a Switch first. So
you do that is the root of the issue here.
So
we will
go start driving for Uber or something and start
there
making some
go.
Money on the side. I don't know,
a week or so should get you there.
Oh, hopefully.
Anyway, exciting stuff ahead. I'm excited for the new town. That's one of the things I really like about the regions have always been very interesting and unique to one another. I'm getting a phone call, but I'm going to ignore it. My wrist started vibrating. I'm like, what's going on? Anyway, so the region is just very interesting. I love diving into the new Pokemon of that region. I kind of got lost after 300, 400 Pokemon. It feels like we got way out there, and I can't name any around 700 at this point. But I think it's cool to have more jump in now that I'm kind of getting back into Pokemon. I don't think I've played for two generations. Have you been out for a while, too?
After 151, I was like, you know what? I'm good. 151 as a kid was pretty hard to remember all the time. And then, like, the second gen came out and, like, bumped it up to 400. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I can barely count to 400, so I'm out. That's pretty much what it came down to.
Do you remember the last game you played for Pokemon? Like, cartridge-wise of the main series?
Well, I still have Pokemon Yellow on my special edition Game Boy Color Pikachu.
That is not the latest one you've played.
Well, technically it is, but it is not the most recent
latest
release.
Installment? Okay, yeah. What's the most recent release you played?
Oh, I want to say it was on the DS. Emerald? I think it was Emerald. Does Emerald sound correct?
Emerald is a game. I wish I could find a chart of them.
Emerald is a game. That is correct, Fiasco. You were able to have that correctly.
So I played, I guess it was probably Fire Red or Leaf Green. Did some come after that? Diamond, Crystal? I don't remember. I'm somewhere in that range, though, within one or two generations of Leaf Green and Fire Red. Okay, good times. We'll trade our Pokemon cards later, but not on the live stream. Last week, we touched on player-created game modes from Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 being migrated to future Halo titles via Halo Waypoint. They've now been migrated, John, and we're not going to end there because I have a question for you. To the nearest 100,000, how many player-created games were successfully copied over?
You do realize I'm the one that's supposed to throw these ridiculous trivia questions at you, correct? You do remember?
Right, but might as well. I'm like a mirror. I just bounce right back.
Mirrors bounce? That's interesting.
If you have a rubber ball. Anyway,
to the nearest 100,000, how many maps migrated?
How many game types? Maps are next month.
Oh, pardon me. How many game types? Let's go with...
I will say this was higher than I expected it to be.
1.3 million.
You can double that exactly. 2.6 million.
Oh, my God. Here I am thinking I'm being a smartass for saying 1.3, and it's 2.6.
2.6 million game types. Not custom maps, freaking game types. I felt like there were like tons of maps, but almost every map ran on like, I don't know, a handful of game types. That's crazy to me.
That's absurd. That's absurd.
You did well, though. You guessed a lot higher than I would have. I would have never guessed even a million. Okay, to the meat and potatoes. So we've talked Nintendo, we've talked Microsoft, now we gotta talk Sony, because they had a huge acquisition today. It actually didn't happen on the Gamescom stage, it just happened while that presentation was being made, which is even more ironic. They have picked up Insomniac Games. Insomniac, the most recent game that they've really been known for is Spider-Man, that game that really killed it on the PS4 earlier this year. They've jumped back and forth, they've done exclusives on Xbox, they've done exclusives on Sony, mainly Sony. I want to say like 75% of them have been Sony exclusives. They've been very much in that family with the only one I can think of that was not on Sony was Sunset Overdrive, which kind of tanked a bit on Xbox. It's got a really big cult following, but not big enough to bring it back. But now they're over there. They are Sony exclusive. Sony has joined the bandwagon that Microsoft started of acquiring studios. And this, to me, is just going to make it even more exciting as we go to the next generation.
See, Joey, you couldn't even say one nice thing about this acquisition. You had to say, oh, yeah, they're about 75% on Sony, but the one title they had on Xbox kind of tanked. So, you know what? This is Sony being like, oh, yeah, you can, you know, Microsoft is like, yeah, Sony, you can pick up our pieces here.
No. If anything, I think that's a compliment to Sony. Mm-hmm. I think Sony got all of the great games from them. Like, they had Resistance was a really popular one that was Sony exclusive. Obviously, Spider-Man. They make something else. I don't know.
Spyro.
Ratchet and Clank.
Spyro. Ratchet and Clank. I'm going to go down the list here real quick. We have...
I mean, they killed it for Sony.
Disruptor in 96. Spyro the Dragon in 98. Spyro 2 in 99. 2000. Spyro, Year of the Dragon. I actually don't think it was the Year of the Dragon in 2000. But we're going to overlook that. 2002, Ratchet and Clank. 2003, Ratchet and Clank, Going Commando. Hey-o. 04, Ratchet and Clank, Up Your Arsenal. You know what? what? I see what they're doing here.
I played
here.
Through that whole one, actually.
So you only got halfway up the arsenal? Let's see here. Ratchet, Deadlocked, Resistance, Fall of Man, Ratchet and Clank, Future, Tools of Destruction in 07. So a lot of Ratchet and a lot of Clank is what I'm trying to get at here. And a little bit of Spyro here and there. So, I mean, look. If you were a 90s kid, if you were an early 2000s kid, like this made, you know, they made, Insomniac Games made some of these really cool titles in Ratchet & Clank and Spyro. Some of the more recent ones, you have Fuse, Ratchet & Clank, Nexus in 2013, Sunset Overdrive in 14. And then really their big one as of recently in the 21st century, I mean, Joey, I have to agree with you, would be Marvel's Spider-Man in 2018. So kind of, I mean, it's a decent acquisition, but at the same time, it's not as heavy hitting as some of Microsoft, some of their acquisitions have been. So it's a start in the right direction, but Sony is still about, I think my count tally, let's see here, is up to 87 studios behind still, it feels like. So yes, Joey, first I want to thank you for allowing Sony propaganda on the show. And then, yes, next week you can go back to your Microsoft stuff.
Now, I actually think this is a better acquisition than people are giving them credit for. Yeah, Ratchet and Clank, I would compare to Rare in that sense. This is Xbox Rare. Because you have Banjo-Kazooie over there, you have more of that cartoonish style that Ratchet and Clank brought, now with Insomniac, so that's that comparison. But think of it like a stock investment. This is the studio that just came out with a well-renowned Spider-Man game, completely different than any other style of game they've done. I think Sony is picking them up on the upswing here. I think they'll bring that fun cartoonish stuff that we saw in Ratchet and Clank, Sunset Overdrive, Spyro. But on top of that, the fact that they showed they can do something as detailed and as dynamic and unique as Spider-Man was, that to me is a huge, huge upswing for this stock here. This is Sony buying in saying, hey, we love the old stuff, but we like the new stuff too. Let's see more of that. And this to me is a great, great answer because this studio shows that they can really develop in multiple styles now with Spider-Man and Ratchet. Gamescom, we talked about it at the top of the show. It is live all week this week, on available on a number of streaming platforms. You can catch it on Caffeine, Twitch, Mixer, maybe Bumble. Who knows if they jump into streaming Bumble as well after last week? It's available on just about everything. YouTube. It's out there. It's available. Gamescom, check it out. It's practically EU's version of E3, for those of you who don't know. It's the big, big game announcements all over the world, but happening in Cologne, Germany. Always happens there every single year, just like E3 out in LA. You're going to see gameplay footage, trailer reveals, DLC information, release dates, all of that fun stuff will be coming out this week. Additionally, if you're feeling a little extra arg, you can set sail in Sea of Thieves as well between August 20th and 24th to earn the complete set of Halo Spartan ship set as well. So that's going to include your sails, John, your paint for your ship, your front piece, which I can't think of the name of, cannons, wheel, all that fun customization. What's the front part of a ship? The mat? No. Oh, come on. Help me out here.
Nope.
Don't leave me sitting.
I'm gonna let you sink on this one.
I can't think of what the name of it is. Oh, so you're looking it up, aren't you?
No. I'm responding to chat that's making fun of the whole Bumble comment again. But yes, chat does have it correct.
Okay, chat, if you could... Oh, helm. There you go. Chat. Chat with the hookup. Thank you. The helm. You get a funky little helm there, probably with like a Master Chief or something like that, if I had to guess. But check out those pictures. If you want to set sail, do so between those dates. Speaking of streaming, Twitch, they are looking to add yet another Mixer feature to their channel. Mixer is coming out with all these unique features. Twitch is saying, hey, we're going to match you by adding that same feature. The newest one coming out is Mixer Sparks. When you watch Mixer channels currently, you get this currency called Sparks that you can end up spending on different channels. Kind of, it's not really unique to Twitch's bits, but it's kind of in that same vein, except you get them for watching instead of purchasing. This is now saying, hey, we're going to add it as channel points. So Twitch taking that same feature over, making it channel points. I think this is good. I hate seeing Twitch take all the features from Mixer because Mixer's really the one being creative here. At the same point, if you look at the streamer market overall, I think it's a really big win because now you're looking at, hey, we're going to have these features and so are we. As one adds a feature, the other adds a feature as well, and it's just continuing to raise the level of competition between the two.
Joey, I have the perfect title for this episode when the podcast is released. Sparks and Bits. because it was so awkward. No, I mean, look, it's great. Twitch needs to do something positive. They're not exactly the shining example at the moment, especially with the whole ninja fiasco, no pun intended. I hate having to say that every time I say fiasco. But, you know, what is Twitch going to do? You know, Ninja went to Mixer. They're going to copy Mixer and try to bring Ninja back? Probably not. And I'm pretty sure Ninja doesn't want to go back at this moment. But, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Twitch is still the dominant streaming platform, period, in discussion. Yeah, Mixer has Ninja. They're doing a great job at expanding. But it's still a long journey ahead for them. And Twitch is smart. You know, they're including the popular features from these other platforms. Sparks, Bits, Channel Points. I don't think that's going to be enough. I don't think that's going to, in all honesty, to me, it just doesn't seem like that is going to be like the make or break deal for people watching Twitch. I think it's a cool concept. I think it's a great idea. But I'm not going to be like, oh, screw this. I'm not watching anything on Twitch ever again. I'm going to go to Mixer because I don't have Sparks and Bits on Twitch. You know, it's I'm going to go to Mixer because they have Sparks and Bits or whatever.
Right. But now both are going to. That's the other key. So the fact that Mixer has it, Twitch says, hey, we're going to match you on that. I mean, Twitch is by far the dominant platform still. No matter who Mixer buys over, it's still going to take so much time for them to build a following that's even close to equivalent to Twitch. Twitch has always been around. It's been huge for years. It's got Amazon backing it. It's linked with Amazon Prime memberships. It's got all this in-game loot with that Prime membership linked as well. It's just, it's really uncomparable at this moment. Ninja's great, but he's not going to pull half your Twitch audience over. It's just never going to happen. You can keep signing more and more ninjas, and it's still going to take a very long time for that switch to happen, even with bad publicity and great streamers going to Mixer. So this, to me, is more not really stemming the bleeding, but maybe if it's a little like paper cut, they're throwing a little Band-Aid on it to say, hey, you can have some little bits or whatever we call them anymore. I can't remember all these names. Sparks.
Channel
Sparks
points
on over here too. I know channel points. Jazz fingers. Yeah, it's interesting. It's just it's a little Band-Aid here and there, but it's more them matching features than adding anything new. Twitch is looking great still, even with all its issues. They're so dominant right now. It's just not going to change, at least for the near future. So that's exciting though. I'm glad we see this on both platforms. Even though Twitch is kind of stealing these ideas, like I said, I think it's great that both platforms continue to add features, and it just makes it better for you and I. So if one has an exclusive deal, well, hey, now we get our bits and sparks on that one as well as the other one. So we'll just jump back and forth for esports tournaments, and that's how it's going to happen.
I'll be so happy if I never hear the phrase bits and sparks ever again.
You probably will later on.
Oh, God.
League of Drama, League of Legends, as many of us know it, many others know it as the League of Drama. It has returned with some more drama. On August 13th, the LCS and Echo Fox agreed, or Echo Fox, the organization, agreed to terminate Echo Fox's participation in the LCS. This is after they had someone looking to buy it. It was Kroenke Sports Entertainment. The deal fell through after a lawsuit came through. So now we're back at square one. Then they said, okay, look, we're going to agree. You didn't make the timeline. The LCS is now going to own the spot. But in selling the spot, most of the proceeds, or the bulk of the proceeds in quotes, is going to go to Echo Fox. It'll be via a 30-day application process that will kick off on August 16th. Very similar to the process we saw for the original LCS teams that made it into this franchise system. It'll be like a quicker version of that more than anything. So over this process, anyone can submit applications. They'll be looking at how well is the organization run? What is their plan for the future? How much are they looking into esports? What experience do they have in sports and esports? All that good stuff. I think we'll get a good organization out of this, John. There were some questionable decisions from the original round of franchising. The fact that Immortals didn't make it in, Dignitas didn't make it in. Organizations that have been there for a long time, a lot of which have showed they were willing to spend money to build a great roster and foster a good environment. They still didn't make it in. At the same point, I want to hope that Riot learned from some of those lessons, especially with Dignitas and Immortals making their way back into the LCS. I'm hoping we see a really good team here in that 10th spot come next season.
Joey, is this the opportunity that we're going to see OTN make their way into the LCS?
I don't think our funding is quite there yet. Yeah, we are not on that dial yet. How much do you think this spot will go for? I think it'll go for probably around 30 mil.
Yeah, I think 30 mil is a safe bet. Yeah, I think 30 mil sounds about right. It's a fairly established league. You know, LCS has been around forever. League of Legends, you know, is going on over a decade now of being in the gaming world, and it's only grown year after year after year. I mean, it is a global powerhouse. So, I think it deserves a fair high price tag, and whoever gets it is going to get into an ecosphere that most organizations would dream of being able to just have the opportunity to take a peek into. So I feel like 30 million is a good middle ground. I wouldn't be surprised if it went higher than that, maybe about 35. I don't think any higher than 40, but I feel like 30 sounds like a good medium for this slot.
Right. And I want to say the original slots went for 10 million, if I remember correctly. And I would value those even higher than some of these Overwatch League spots currently are, with the sponsorships they're pulling in, with the establishment that League of Legends has. And some of those Overwatch League spots went from 30 to 60 million, if I remember correctly. So I think you're going to hit 30 minimum with the way League of Legends continues to grow. I personally think LEC spots are currently worth a little bit more. But the way LCS is growing, now that they've seen how well the LEC did with their full remodel, I think the LCS comes back next season with an even brighter remodel. It'll look a lot cleaner than it did this year, in my opinion. So I think that even becomes more worth it. So I think an investment of $30 million is probably about where it should be. In particular, if you look at esports, I have to say League of Legends is on top of the pile at the moment. Overwatch League has made some great strides. Some other games out there like Call of Duty are making great strides as well. But League of Legends has been around for, it's been what, esports for like 10 years now, I feel like? Something around there?
What, we're in season 8?
Okay, so just under 10 years as far as esports go. So it's been around for a minute, and it just continues to climb. It's had some viewership fluctuation here and there, but Worlds numbers, international competitions in general have shown really, really big growth, and I think it's just still on an upward climb, and it's just, it's one of those games where you're like, when is this game going to die? Will it continue on forever? Because it's really broken the test of time, it and CSGO both. CSGO has been around for freaking ever. This is something you just normally do not see in esports and in gaming in general, so it's kind of a risk because you really don't know when it'll fall off. At the same point, it looks very solid, and Riot Games is still making positive income. CSGO is doing very well for Valve, so I think it's a good investment at 30 mil, which we do not have lying around, but you can help with that, patreon.com/OTN.
Hashtag ad middle of the show. What was that? Oh, my gosh.
Hey, oh, speaking of recent results, Rainbow Six, we hit them at the top of the show, but they just had their Raleigh Major. Making it out of that tournament as the winner, John, was Team Empire. Do you think they'll start an Empire after this win?
Do I think they're going to start? I mean, they had a very convincing win. They 3-0 G2 in a very solid performance. So who knows? It may be the start of something special here for Team Empire. They had a very tough route. They went up against FaZe Clan in the quarterfinals, beat them 2-1. They went up against Team Secret and beat them 2-1. And then they all the way to the finals. You know, G2 is a tough organization, even in Rainbow Six. So Team Empire pulling out the 3-1 win, that's a solid, solid win for them in Rainbow Six.
Rainbow Six is weird to me. The fact that, like, some of these good teams that have shown they're really good did not make it through the group stage even. Fnatic, one of the better Australian teams out there. Evil Geniuses is another well-known team. Pet Nora Rango also did pretty well previously. MIBR. So it's not like there's really bad teams getting dropped out of these group stages. It's some pretty solid teams getting knocked out for other ones like a Forza, like a Space Station. A lot of these other teams are kind of making their name for themselves in this competition. With that being said, like you said, Team Empire did come out on top. It was 3-1. G2 Esports took down Forza on their way, and Team Empire took down Team Secret 2-1 to move into that final. So Team Empire with a big win here in Raleigh. And by here, I mean south by a few hours.
Yeah, Raleigh is like a solid like 3.5-4 hour drive. It's actually not that far.
Yeah, it's a decent minute. It'll take you a little while.
It's not that bad.
Dota 2's The International will also take a little bit of while because this competition is freaking massive. Moving out of Group A and into the upper bracket, because they have the fancy little upper bracket, lower bracket thing working over here. PSG LGD 5-3-0. Team Secret 4-3-1, Newbie 2-5-1, and TNC Predator 2-5-1 for Group A. Over to Group B, it's going to be OG at 6-2, Vici Gaming 4-3-1, Evil Geniuses 3-3-2, and Virtus Pro 3-2-3. Those will be your upper bracket. John, how does the lower bracket look?
Let's find out here. Let me scroll down to the proper part of this. Lower bracket out of Group A will be Alliance that finished 1-6-1. Somehow they got 8 points out of that. what was that? Minsky in they go down to the lower bracket 2-4-2 as well. Team Liquid 2-2-4. And Keen Gaming wrap out the lower bracket from Group A. In Group B, you have Infamous at 1-5-2. Joey's Fnatic 3-1-4. What was it? Is that wins, ties, losses? I'm thinking the middle number has to be ties here.
I think it's ties, yeah.
Okay. Then you have Navi 2-3-3, and Royal Never Give Up 2-2-4 coming out of Group B to finish out the lower bracket.
And that'll bring us to our main event bracket. In the upper bracket, PSG will be taking on Virtus Pro, two legendary organizations as far as Dota goes. PSG obviously with the bigger seed here, but both these teams really bring it to the table, especially for international competition. And with the international being the biggest one of that, you can expect a lot of fireworks in that matchup. Vici Gaming, TNC Predator. Vici Gaming looking very spicy in Group B. They had a really strong showing over there. I expect them to do really well in this competition. I'd even label them as a bit of a dark horse in this one. OG Newbie, two really strong Chinese teams. Both really bring the heat. One spot, or is OG Chinese? They might actually be German now that I think about it. They have that Red Bull sponsorship. Both still good teams. They've always been in the international, it feels like. They both always make a name for themselves. And then Team Secret and Evil Geniuses, two more teams that have really been around the Dota circuit for a while. So really no big surprises up here in the upper bracket. What about that lower bracket, John?
I am fact-checking that OG thing here real quick. Hold on.
Yeah, I wanted to say they were Chinese, but they might actually be German.
OG, let's see here. So this is from Liquidpedia, a very trusty source, of course. OG was created as the new team of former Monkey Business players.
Oh, yes, Monkey
let's
Business.
Let's see here. So obviously they're European. They do not actually give on this website a city of origin for its org.
Well, their breakthrough occurred at the Frankfurt Major, so we're going to say they're from Frankfurt, Germany.
Yeah, we're not going to go with that, but it's an easy shot. Lower bracket, best of one, loser goes home. Let's take a look here. We have Alliance going up against RNG. Fnatic versus Team Liquid. Jeez, I feel like we've seen this somewhere before. Fnatic, Team Liquid. NA versus EU. Joey, let's go out on a limb. Who are you going to pick here?
For Fnatic, Team Liquid?
Yeah.
Oof, I got to go Team Liquid. I think they won. Didn't they win TI last year?
Look, I was trying to get you to stick to your EU roots so we have a little EU-NA feud here, but if we're both going to go NA, it's not going to work.
Okay, so a little backstory with Fnatic here. They switched out one of their players like last month. So one of their players is currently their coach. So I'm not expecting them to go far at all. I could see them being eliminated right here.
Fine, Team Liquid wins. And we have Infamous going up against Keen Gaming and the lower bracket. First round wraps up with Minsky and Navi.
Spicy, spicy. So keep an eye on that. John, do you remember what the prize pool was up to? Was it 37 mil?
Let me pull that up because that is always fun. Dota 2 price tracker. That's all you have to do is Google that. It's simple as that. I believe it's actually a Korean website that runs this. So we are currently, at the time of this recording, sitting at 33,470,440. That is going to be enough to buy your way into the LCS in League of Legends.
Yes, it would. If all those teams pool together, they could get a little joint organization thing. Kind of like the Green Bay Packers, where everyone owns a little bit of a share of them.
Yeah.
I do not see that going over well, but that is a hefty prize pool. And is it still going? Does it go on during competition?
I believe it goes up to the 110th day. Okay. And we're at day 104, so it looks like we only got about 6 days left. So plenty of time for that to grow, and it is just absolutely shattered last year, which came in at 25.5 mil, and we're already at 33.4. So the Dota community is absolutely crushing it again with funding this prize pool. So, yeah, six more days. Do you think they're going to hit the 35 mil mark?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they'll make it. They'll get that final push at the end. They like their records over there at Dota, so I would not be surprised if they pull it together. Like chat says, and I feel like you and I have discussed this a lot, it is amazing to see that there's not more crowdfunding in other games. League of Legends started adding a bit with skins. We've seen Rainbow Six add some in. That's more directly to orgs, if I remember correctly. But CSGO being one of those big ones that really does not have that many options for crowdfunding, but it's been around forever. I feel like CSGO has been around since I was a kid, and it still is successful as far as viewership numbers, as far as tournaments, but the crowdfunding, it's never really been established, and I feel like that would be a perfect game for it.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd with how successful Dota 2 has been with crowdfunding that more esport titles or tournaments just don't do this. It's baffling. Just the amount of money you can make from crowdfunding like this, whether it's, you know, skin packs or emotes or icons or anything. I mean, how much money does Riot make per year, you know, in the League of Legends store? And none of that goes towards Worlds directly. Like, it was what, like 2 years ago when we started seeing esport orgs get a cut of the esport icons and emotes and everything in game. So it's still kind of being tested out in League of Legends, which just blows my mind. And Overwatch League, I'm pretty sure Overwatch League has nothing to do with crowdfunding either. And I feel like that's another great way of helping, you know, grow that scene that is still kind of in that, you know, testing ground with a regionally based esport league. I feel like crowds funding can really help along the way also with the dedicated fans and helping to grow more fans for your esports scene. So I'm shocked that we don't see more of it.
Overwatch League, I feel like, has done some. I want to say, like, the All-Star skins went toward a prize pool, if I remember correctly, or went to split up between that region. They've also done crowdfunding for, like, charities, like the Pink Mercy skin for breast cancer awareness. So I feel like Overwatch League has made some moves. At the same point, they also have a massive cash pool right now with all these owners buying in for, like, $30 to $60 million for a lot of these teams, at least being on the based on the reports that we've heard. So there's a lot of money swimming around in Overwatch League, plus they're adding those sponsorships. They do have the team skins, and I might be wrong on this, but I think those go directly to the team, at least a percentage of those skins does. So they do have some crowdfunding, just not necessarily toward a major prize pool for a tournament yet. Last but not least, for Dota 2's International 9, we do have to mention that Sumail of Evil Geniuses has become the first player to hit 1,000 kills at the International. 1,000 kills is quite a few, John.
It's about roughly 1,000 more than I have in Dota combined. So, yeah, fairly impressive. That's pretty good. Anytime you can, like, 1,000 kills at a singular tournament that only happens once a year. And obviously the farther your team goes, the quicker you can get there. And Sumail is an amazing player. I believe at one point when he won his first championship, he was the youngest player to win the International. That was, what, 4 years ago now? 4 or 5 years
ago? Yeah, it would have been a minute at least.
It was a long time ago, right? He's still going. He's still performing at a high level, and he's just crushing it. So, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely. 1,000 kills. I mean, thinking of 1,000 kills in any game, I feel like, is a feat. But then to do it on the pro scene level just makes it even bigger. And that brings us to Overwatch League, where there were a lot of kills this past weekend as well. How did the matchups end up?
All right, so first we'll take a look at the standings here, because I got a little bit of a bone to pick, because the Justice were crushing it. And I'm going to try to be a little not biased here, but it's going to come out anyway. So at the end of week four, going into week five, the homestand weekend in Los Angeles, let that settle in real quick. It's based out of Los Angeles. They're going to have a homestand weekend in Los Angeles. We'll start from the bottom. We'll work our way up. In stage four only now, 8th place is London Spitfire, 4-3. The Florida Mayhem in 7th, 4-3 as well. Map differential, the big difference there. Mayhem a +7 after this past weekend. The LA Valiant, 4-1 with a +5 map differential. 5th place, the Vancouver Titans, 4-1. What was that one loss? What team did that come against?
If you're asking me, that would be the Washington Justice.
In 4th place, the Washington Justice at 6-1. Again, the map differential here being the big difference. The Charge in 3rd place, 6-1 as well. The Atlanta Reign, 5-0, along with the San Francisco Shock, 5-0. Tied in map differential, 13 as well. So we have joint 1st place teams in Stage 4. But fun fact, these rankings mean absolutely nothing, because there is nothing online for Stage 4 playoffs, because we go right into the Season 2 playoffs at the end of Stage 4. So for teams like the Justice that were not exactly the greatest team for the first three stages, they finally turned it around, compliments of the 2-2-2 roll lock. We don't have DPS players playing tanks anymore. And all of a sudden, guess what? We have to wait, you know, until season three. So I'm not bitter. I'm not salty. It's not like I want to watch the Washington Justice continue to absolutely body fools on a weekend basis. But yeah, anywho, not too shabby. But Joey.
Yes. So some big things coming out of this, though. So stage five is coming up. It's mm-hmm. the last stage here. It's limited because it is a homestand. It's in Los Angeles, like you said. Kit Kat rivalry weekend, actually, John. So what is it? Get a brick. Get a break of that Kit Kat. I can't even think of the line. I was going to make a joke off it, but
give me a break. Give me a break of that Kit Kat bar.
Can't make a joke if you don't remember the catch line, folks.
Yikes.
Or the catch phrase, should I say. I think that one of the biggest exciting storylines at the end here is Atlanta. Atlanta with a big win over the Surging Justice, their only loss of the stage. On top of that, Atlanta is just outside playoffs right now. They're behind the, I think it's the Spitfire and the Gladiators here at 16 wins currently. Atlanta sitting at 14. So they are 2 wins behind. But at the same point, they have 2 matches this weekend. They're up against the Fuel, and they're up against the Boston Uprising. Both are very winnable for Atlanta. So Atlanta is not out yet. They have a chance of scooting in here in that final seed here right at the end. So if you're watching anyone this next weekend, it's got to be Atlanta for me.
No, absolutely. And if they go 2-0 this weekend, as long as, well, I mean, really, map differential doesn't matter, because if they win, they're going to have a positive map differential. Right now, they have 13 points. They have a plus 13 map differential. London Spitfire only have a plus 6. There is a major chance that the Atlanta Reign can knock out the defending season one champions from the playoffs this weekend.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it, actually. London does not have any more games left, if I remember.
No.
Yeah, no more games for London. So the Gladiators do have a game left. I think Atlanta goes 2-0 this weekend. I think the Gladiators actually get knocked down into the 6th seed, and Atlanta moves forward as the 5.
Well, see, and here's the thing to take a look at real quick. Okay, the Atlanta Reign are going to be going up against the Dallas Fuel. The Dallas Fuel is 10-17 with a negative 25 map differential, and then the Boston Uprising that have just absolutely collapsed at 8-18 with a negative 31 map differential. Atlanta Reign is playing like incredibly well. They're popping off. They're the only team that cooled down the red hot Washington Justice in stage 4. There's a very strong possibility, and Joey, I will agree with you, I do see this happening, that the Atlanta Reign are going to knock out the London Spitfire this upcoming weekend at the LA homestand. I don't see Boston, and I just don't see Dallas doing anything to stop them. They're on track, and they are just steaming ahead.
Absolutely. So I do think they take that 5 spot. We'll have to see if the Gladiators are able to keep their current map differential up there. It looks like they're up by 4 currently. But like I said, Atlanta does have a whole nother match than they do. So that could flip depending how that ends up. On top of that, this is not the end for the Spitfire. So there is a postseason play-in still to be played. If all our predictions go into place, John, it's looking like that'll be the London Spitfire, the Seoul Dynasty, the Guangzhou Charge, Philadelphia Fusion, Shanghai Dragons, and then the Chengdu Hunters. Again, still a little bit of flexibility here. Los Angeles is currently 1 win behind at 12, and Paris Eternal is sitting down there at 11. I would not be surprised to see LA scoop in a spot as well, because I think they do have 2 matches. Yes, they do have 2 matches this weekend, with this being their homestand. So I think you could see a little swap with Atlanta moving in and then the Valiant moving up to the play-in as well. Any other things you want to hit on for this?
No,
the Washington Justice watch party was great.
Oh,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the party was great. Like, if you guys have a local esport org, like in your hometown, wherever you're located throughout the world, and they're doing a watch party, go to it. It's a lot of fun. Like, you get to meet new people. There's something about coming together as a group of people to cheer on a team. It's not replicated sitting behind a computer watching on Twitch by yourself or having a friend or two over watching it. Like, being in a large room with everyone rooting for the same team, or just people that are there to have the experience. There were giveaways. Like, you could get autographed cards for making a donation to charity through the Washington Vice and Virtue official fan club for the Washington Justice. They were raffling off a Logitech G513 keyboard, which is a solid, solid keyboard. A hat that was autographed by the entire team. You could get your picture taken with the characters from the game in Washington Justice skin on a backdrop, which is really freaking cool. They had tons of giveaways. I mean, it was so cool. It was an amazing experience, Joey. It wasn't our first time at a watch party, but the energy there was absolutely outstanding, and it just felt like the roof was about to blow off the place.
Oh, yeah. Penn Social was a great location for it. They did a really good job. Vice and Virtue always does a great job with these watch parties. And like John said, if you have a local team, check out the organizations, because there's most likely an organization that manages the community there as well. If you haven't gotten involved, try to, because there are some really, really great experiences out there in the esports community. With that, let's take our shift over to League of Legends, formerly the League of Drama, that we went over a bit earlier in the notes. But we did have LEC action close up this past weekend. Now we're moving on to playoffs, and what does that bracket look like?
All right, so the regular season is finally finished in the LEC. It feels like, what, they're like 8 weeks behind the LCS, it felt
Two, but close.
So in first place, G2 Esports 15-3, Fnatic in second, 14-4, Splice third, 12-6, Schalke 04 still holding down that fourth spot, 11-7, Rogue 7-11, Team Vitality in sixth, 8-11, SK Gaming 7-12 in seventh. Eighth place, Origin 7-11. see what they did there. Misfits Gaming 6-12. And Excel Esports still being the anti-Fnatic, 4-14. Absolutely love that. So we do have our playoffs set for the LEC. In round one, we're going to have Splice up against Rogue, followed by Schalke 04 versus Team Vitality. Joey, it's prediction time. Splice Rogue, who's taking this one?
Splice Rogue. Splice is going to take this one. I'm thinking 3-1. Splice could easily sweep them. Rogue has got some young talent, though. It's looked really good. The mid laner in particular, Larson, has looked really strong. But Splice overall, they look like the third best team in LEC right now, and I think they show it in this matchup.
All right. I will agree with you. I think 3-1 is a solid line as well. And then let's move to the other matchup in round one, which is Schalke 04 versus Team Vitality.
Schalke and Vitality. This could be a mess. I don't know who I want to take in this one, actually. I'm going to go with Schalke, I think. I could see this going five games. Both teams have shown that they have their strength sides, but both have also showed they have plenty of weaknesses. I think one team will exploit a little bit more weaknesses than the other, and they'll come out on top in a five-game series, 3-2. I will take Schalke to be that team on top.
Just for S&Gs, I'm going to take Team Vitality 3-2. I do think it's going to go five games, but Joey, I agree with you. I think it's kind of right there on that line where either team can really take this. I'll just take Team Vitality. We'll switch it up. We don't always have to agree on things.
Right. So a little bit of new life from Vitality.
Yeah.
A little fresh action from that lineup. And then in the quarterfinals, though, can talk a little bit of quarterfinals. Just to go over it a little bit, LEC has a really funky playoff format. It is the hardest thing to explain in esports and probably the dumbest thing, in my opinion, as well. It's not really a double elimination. It's like a faux double elimination. So if you get the first or second seed, you play each other. So 1 and 2 play each other straight off, and then the winner of that goes to the finals, but the loser gets another life and gets to play another team again. Dumbest thing ever. So the winner of Splice Rogue moves on, and then the winner of Schalke Vitality moves on. They play each other. The winner of that will go on to play the loser of G2 Fnatic, just to explain that a bit. And then, like you were saying, John, so then the quarterfinals, G2 Fnatic. I'm curious to hear your suggestion first on this one.
G2 plays Fnatic incredibly well. G2 matches up against them. It feels like it's always G2 Fnatic. It feels like no matter the outcome of this quarterfinal, it's going to be Fnatic and G2 in the finals again. I think G2 takes it. I really do. I think G2 takes it. I think it's going to go all five games. I think G2 takes it. They punch their ticket into the finals. I think Fnatic goes to the semifinals. And then they will beat whoever comes out of the Splice Rogue Schalke Vitality fiasco in round one. And they'll punch their ticket to the finals as well. I think either way, G2 and Fnatic are going to wind up in the finals.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. I think G2 wins 3-1 over Fnatic. I think G2 is the stronger team on a fresh piece of paper. The teams have gone 2-2 against each other so far this year, and the matchups have really been able, they've been on a knife's blade. Like the last one, it looked like G2 smashed Fnatic, but if you have one Baron fight go a different way, or if Hillsong doesn't over-engage one or two times, that game looks completely different. So I think the knife's edge thing here is going to be a fact again. At the same point, I do think G2 squeezes it out. It could go five games. I'm going to take G2 3-1 in this one. Then in the next series, though, I think I'm going to go G2 3-2, assuming both these teams do get a move on, because I think Fnatic will make some good corrections, and it'll be one hell of a game five in that one. That's my guess. But there's one of the things we have to touch on here for the LEC, because you and I both, as avid TSM haters, we have to mention that Fnatic and Rogue got together and decided to make their bans for this past week TSMXD. Like, this is amazing to me. Fnatic banned Thresh, Sylas, and Malzahar in the first round, then following that up with Xerath and Diana. And then over on the other side for Rogue, agreeing to this crazy thing. I don't know who came up with it, but one of them agreed with the other. They went Twisted Fate, they went Syndra, Mordekaiser, Zaya, and Draven. That to me is amazing. The fact that both these teams, it's the end of the season. This matchup technically didn't mean a ton, so that's part of it. One team could not get into the playoffs, and the other one already had the second seed locked up. So there wasn't a ton on the line here. At the same point, I love the extra humor, and any jab at TSM just puts a smile on my face.
Oh, absolutely. And let's be real here. Like, BMing in video games is completely acceptable nowadays. Like, we even see an Overwatch League where, like, you know, a player is knocked down, they're like on their last life, and like everyone huddles around them and just waits, and they all just kill them at once. It's fun, it's playful, it's, you know, there was nothing malicious. If you ask a TSM fan, they're probably still crying about it. But yeah, I mean, nothing's on the line. Why not do TSM XD? TSM is kind of like, if I had to make an analogy, kind of like the Oakland Raiders of esports when it comes to this. Like, they just have that bad boy mentality. Like, the, you know, we just don't care. We're going to go out and do our thing. Their fans are incredibly vocal. They're incredibly passionate. It also feels like a roller coaster every time you talk to one. But yeah, kudos to Rogue and Fnatic. I already love Fnatic as it is, and Rogue, this just makes me like them even more that they did this. Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to who did this and who like brainstormed this idea up. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I mean, it had to be backstage, because I don't think the teams can communicate with each other once they're on stage, I don't believe. Then again, we actually don't see the full client. They could be text chatting in the client for all we know.
Yeah, I do believe.
There could be a little bit of that.
Yeah, I do believe, like, old chat is still a thing. Like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely brilliant. A little jab at TSM, good humor there. Exciting stuff over in the LEC, so we do have playoffs this weekend. On the other side, though, the LCS, they have pretty much wrapped up their first couple rounds, and we are into the finals, I believe, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that is looking like C9 Team Liquid. C9 moved on with a 3-1 win over CLG. Team Liquid, on the other hand, a little closer series, 3-2 over Clutch Gaming. Clutch showed a lot of life in that series. A lot of people thought this might be the upset for Clutch. It was not. Team Liquid showed once again that they are the dominant team here in NA. They showed some weaknesses, but they showed they know how to pull it through in the end. And now we set ourselves up for a TL C9 Finals. But before that, we have a third place game between CLG and CG. Who are you taking out of that one?
I feel like Hooney's going to come out and just absolutely clown some people in top lane for Clutch. I'm going to take Clutch. CLG, I was not that impressed with their performance. Like, Cloud9 even blew a 10K gold lead at one point in time, and CLG still struggled. So I think Clutch will take the third place game. I'm going to say 3-1, as if it really matters.
Yeah, I like 3-1 as well. That's what they beat TSM at. TSM with their third jungler for some reason. But CLG did look hot coming into playoffs, and they looked good against Optic. They did not look good against C9. So it could just be CLG having a down game. At the same point, I think CG is hungry. I think CG wants this win. I could see it going five games, but I'm going to go 3-1 CG as well. And that brings us to the prize pony, Team Liquid, over here, up against your Cloud9. Really good series, a lot of rivalry between these two. The first time C9 has not made it to Worlds via the Gauntlet, I believe, in franchise history, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So big stuff there. C9 finally making it to the finals. A top two team, or top two seed, secured at this point. So really, I believe this is just deciding who's going to get the one seed, correct?
Yeah, it pretty much decides who gets the one seed. Both teams are through. Just who's going to be one, who's going to be two. And yeah, as a Cloud Nine fan, it's going to be nice to not, like, regardless of the outcome of this game, we're not going to have to stress through the gauntlet. We're not going to have to worry about how many reverse sweeps we're going to need to pull to try to find our way to Worlds. It's nice. I'm happy about it. It puts a smile on my face. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, everyone at Cloud Nine. My anxiety levels are so far, like, down because of this. I really appreciate it. So Cloud Nine versus Team Liquid / Cloud Nine 2.0. It feels like Team Liquid picks up every Cloud Nine player that we get rid of. Cloud Nine hasn't won a stage in such a long time. I want to win a stage. Team Liquid is such a formidable opponent. It's going to be tough. Jensen in mid lane is a monster. Impact in top lane is a monster. Double lift in core, JJ in bot lane. I mean, that's going to be tough. Like, Sneaky has played double lift quite well throughout his entire career. Zyzil, the bearded god support player, they've played pretty well in bot lane. The real question mark really comes down to jungle. Xsmithy with Team Liquid, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be Svenskeren with Cloud9 going forward. I think Blabber is still kind of on the outside looking in there. I'm biased. I don't care. Cloud9 takes it 3-2. We'll say 3-2. We're going to go 5 games. We're going to get some silver scrapes actions here.
Yeah, I actually think it's going to be Cloud9 as well. I think it's going to be 3-2-2. Liquid just showed a lot of weaknesses against Clutch, and I think C9 is a much stronger team. With that being said, I think Liquid, with Jensen's wrist issues currently going, I don't want to give them a way out of this in a sense, but I do think Niski's going to have more of an advantage with Jensen having wrist issues, and I think that might be the little push that C9 needs to be able to take this to a 5-game series and come in on top. I think bot lane is heavily favored for TL currently, but toward the top side of the map, Impact is really strong. Jensen's really strong, but I think C9 can match that pressure. So if they can control TL's bot lane, really, if they can keep double lift in check, I think C9 has a really good chance of coming out with their first really win in 3-4 years.
It's been a while.
We'll see if they're on Cloud9 at the end of this finals.
I hope so, because I'm going to be screaming if they win or not, I'm going to be screaming. So it's it's tough. Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get exclusive access to content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitch, Spotify. The list gets longer every time I do this outro. We're going to get them all in there. We want to hear from you. Leave us a review on all of those platforms. Joey, we love to hear from everyone so much. There's other ways than just reviews that we want to hear from our fans. Where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, hit us up in Twitch chat as well. We're on here regularly streaming Monday nights around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time is when we go live. So we will see you there, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
This Thursday, the 22nd of August, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, I am streaming the new episode of Life is Strange 2, episode 4. The storyline is getting absolutely crazy. You do not want to miss this. That is going to be on OTN_live on Twitch this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Tune in and I will catch you there. And while you're at it, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your user a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always, Level up.